desire to go to Freedom Plaza had nothing to do with the pyramid, but rather with its being a large subway station, Metro Center, from which they could take the red, blue, or orange lines in any of six different directions. They jumped out of the taxi at Freedom Plaza, and Langdon took over, doing some improvising of his own, leaving a trail to the Masonic Memorial in Alexandria before he and Catherine ran down into the subway station, dashing past the blue line platforms and continuing on to the red line, where they caught a train in the opposite direction. Traveling six stops northbound to Tenleytown, they emerged all alone into a quiet, upscale neighborhood. Their destination, the tallest structure for miles, was immediately visible on the horizon, just off Massachusetts Avenue, on a vast expanse of manicured lawn. Now off the grid, as Catherine called it, the two of them walked across the damp grass. On their right was a medieval-style garden, famous for its ancient rose bushes and Shadow House gazebo. They moved past the garden, directly toward the magnificent building to which they had been summoned, a refuge containing 10 stones from Mount Sinai, one from heaven itself, and one with the visage of Luke's dark father. "I've never been here at night," Catherine said, gazing up at the brightly lit towers. "It's spectacular." Langdon agreed, having forgotten how impressive this place truly was. This neo-Gothic masterpiece stood at the north end of Embassy Row. He hadn't been here for years, not since writing a piece about it for a kids' magazine, in hopes of generating some excitement among young Americans to come see this amazing landmark. His article, Moses, Moon Rocks, and Star Wars, had been part of the tourist literature for years. Washington National Cathedral, Langdon thought, feeling an unexpected anticipation at being back after all these years. Where better to ask about one true God? "This cathedral really has 10 stones from Mount Sinai?" Catherine asked, gazing up at the twin bell towers. Langdon nodded. "Near the main altar. They symbolize the 10 commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai."
"And there's a lunar rock?"
"A rock from heaven itself."
"Yes, one of the stained glass windows is called the space window and has a fragment of moon rock embedded in it."
"Okay, but you can't be serious about the last thing." Catherine glanced over, her pretty eyes flashing skepticism.
"A statue of Darth Vader?"
Langdon chuckled. "Luke Skywalker's dark father?"
"Absolutely.
Vader is one of the National Cathedral's most popular grotesques."
He pointed high into the west towers. "Tough to see him at night, but he's there."
"What in the world is Darth Vader doing on Washington National Cathedral?"
"A contest for kids to carve a gargoyle that depicted the face of evil. Darth won."
They reached the grand staircase to the main entrance, which was set back in an 80-foot archway beneath a breathtaking rose window. As they began climbing, Langdon's mind shifted to the mysterious stranger who had called him.
"No names, please. Tell me, have you successfully protected the map that was entrusted to you?"
Langdon's shoulder ached from carrying the heavy stone pyramid, and he was looking forward to setting it down.
Sanctuary and answers.
As they approached the top of the stairs, they were met with an imposing pair of wooden doors.
"Do we just knock?" Catherine asked.
Langdon had been wondering the same thing, except that now one of the doors was creaking open.
"Who's there?"
a frail voice said. The face of a withered old man appeared in the doorway. He wore priest's robes and a blank stare. His eyes were opaque and white, clouded with cataracts.
"My name is Robert Langdon," he replied.
"Catherine Solomon and I are seeking sanctuary." The blind man exhaled in relief.
"Thank God, I've been expecting you."
Chapter 80. Warren Bellamy felt a sudden ray of hope. Inside the jungle, Director Sato had just received a phone call from a field agent and had immediately flown into a tirade.
"Well, you damn well better find them,"
she shouted into her phone.
"We're running out of time."
She had hung up and was now stalking back and forth in front of Bellamy as if trying to decide what to do next. Finally, she stopped directly in front of him and turned.
"Mr. Bellamy, I'm going to ask you this once, and only once."
She stared deep into his eyes.
"Yes or no? Do you have any idea where Robert Langdon might have gone?"
Bellamy had more than a good idea, but he shook his head.
No?
Sato's piercing gaze had never left his eyes.
Unfortunately, part of my job is to know when people are lying.
Bellamy averted his eyes.
Sorry, I can't help you.
Architect Bellamy,
Sato said.
Tonight, just after 7 p.m., you were having dinner in a restaurant outside the city when you received a phone call from a man who told you he had kidnapped Peter Solomon.
Bellamy felt an instant chill and returned his eyes to hers. How could you possibly know that?
The man,
Sato continued,
told you that he had sent Robert Langdon to the Capitol building and given Langdon a task to complete, a task that required your help. He warned that if Langdon failed in this task, your friend Peter Solomon would die. Panicked, you called all of Peter's numbers but failed to reach him. Understandably, you then raced to the Capitol.
Bellamy could not imagine how Sato knew about this phone call.
As you fled the Capitol,
Sato said behind the smoldering tip of her cigarette,
you sent a text message to Solomon's kidnapper, assuring him that you and Langdon had been successful in obtaining the Masonic Pyramid.
Where is she getting her information? Bellamy wondered. Not even Langdon knows I sent that text message. Immediately after entering the tunnel to the Library of Congress, Bellamy had stepped into the electrical room to plug in the construction lighting. In the privacy of that moment, he had decided to send a quick text message to Solomon's captor, telling him about Sato's involvement, but reassuring him that he, Bellamy, and Langdon had obtained the Masonic Pyramid and would indeed cooperate with his demands. It was a lie, of course, but Bellamy hoped the reassurance might buy time, both for Peter Solomon and also to hide the pyramid.
Who told you I sent a text? Bellamy demanded.
Sato tossed Bellamy's cell phone on the bench next to him.
Hardly rocket science.
Bellamy now remembered his phone and keys had been taken from him by the agents who captured him.
As for the rest of my inside information,
Sato said,
the Patriot Act gives me the right to place a wiretap on the phone of anyone I consider a viable threat to national security. I consider Peter Solomon to be such a threat, and last night I took action.
Bellamy could barely get his mind around what she was telling him.
You're tapping Peter Solomon's phone?
Yes. This is how I knew the kidnapper called you at the restaurant. You called Peter's cell phone and left an anxious message explaining what had just happened.
Bellamy realized she was right.
We had also intercepted a call from Robert Langdon, who was in the Capitol building, deeply confused to learn he had been tricked into coming there.